One of the things I like about the scriptures that I have found to be true when I apply it to my own life is that one of the blessings we have in our Almighty God is that God is faithful to keep His people secure and care for them during their times of trouble and their times of trial. We know this in theology as the perseverance of the saints. We persevere because God is our ever-present help in times of trouble. Paul told the Philippian believers that he was confident that God would make sure they were cared for until the coming of Christ Jesus. But we all know that it's tough sometimes to stand firm in our faith and live as God wants us to live, trusting in God completely, completely trusting in God when trouble comes into our lives. But Psalm 84 reminds us that only by setting our hearts on the Lord in our times of trouble will God's love and power bubble up like springs of water and rain down on us like autumn rains. As God carries us along from strength to strength till we appear before God in Zion in ultimate purity. God keeps us and carries us along from strength to strength until we appear before God in ultimate purity. Now last week we learned about suffering and about how through suffering God gives us hope. We call it sanctification. In our journey of life, God strengthens us, gives us perseverance, and perseverance gives us hope that we're going to reach the final destination securely as God intends for us. And we talked about the scenario of in track and field running the hurdles. And we learned how as we start down the track, we come to the first hurdle in this race we call life. And we think, wow, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can make it. Help me, Lord. And we get over that. We run. We're exhilarated. We've made it this far. The second hurdle comes up. Boy, I don't know. Here's another one. And we make that. And as we go along, we start remembering when we come to the next hurdle how the Lord helped us through those hurdles behind us. So we build confidence as we go along in the Lord our God to help us through to the end. But the problem is, and we all know this, we fall down, don't we? We fall down in this journey that we call life. In our faith journey, we fall down. We often become tired. We become burnt out. We don't want to do this anymore. Life often overwhelms us and we start to doubt. Situations overcome us and we are afraid. Trouble seems never ending and we start to lose that hope. And then the enemy comes in and starts to tempt us to question God in these times and to ask, where's God now? Why are you letting this happen, God? Where are you? And the answer is, God is right here with us. As Psalm 46 reminds us, He is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. We started out talking about God's love being revealed in Jesus Christ. God revealed that He loved us so much and loves us so much. Okay? That He revealed His love. That in His love, He saves us through Jesus Christ. And through His love, He adopts us as His children. And as we go along in our lives as His children, He molds us and sanctifies us. Now I want to ask you a question. Why would He let go of us? Because we're bad? Because we break His laws? No. We're His children. He's not going to let go of us. He's going to keep us along. Some people think because they've done something wrong, God sends down the lightning bolt and trouble comes into their lives because they've been bad little boys and girls. And that's not how it works. God's love is so much for His children that He carries us along to the next strength. He helps us to see through that journey where He wants us to be and what we should be doing. And He carries us along and uplifts us. I guess to put it clearly, God is a cheerleader in our lives and provides things in our lives to cheer us on, to help us along. And we have to believe, as Paul believed when he wrote to Timothy, when he said, "I know whom I believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I've trusted to him for that day when Jesus comes back and I enter into eternal glory." In other words, Paul was saying to Timothy, "I have faith in God. Timothy, have faith in God." And we're his sheep. We're his children. We're his people. He will not let go of us, nor will he just simply let us go. There are those who believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and then he stepped back and said, "All right, go for it," and let things evolve on their own and happen on their own. That's called panentheism, anyhow, if you want to write that big word down. Panentheism. It's a heresy that was present in the church thousands of years ago. It still is today. But our Bible tells us that our God, our Lord, is right by us in our times of trouble, because we're his sheep, his people. Jesus said, "I give my sheep eternal life. They'll never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand, and my Father has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." We have our people in our hands. And God's love keeps us, because God is not only willing, but he is able to keep us no matter what. Nothing you're going through in life right now, or nothing you ever do, is too great for God to handle. So the great hymn goes, "I know not why, I know not how, I know not when, but I know who I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." In our text today, Paul gives us some confidence in God's keeping love. You know, a lot of times when we get in these situations in life, we think we can find things in this world that will help us through. There is nothing more heartbreaking to me to meet someone who is going through a difficulty in life, and I ask them if we can pray, and they'll say to me, "No, I'm good. No, I know that it'll be good. I have faith. I know everything's going to work out." Extremely heartbreaking to me that they will not turn it over to the Lord to help them and carry them through. Well, Paul wrote to the Roman believers. Again, this was a lot of the heresy in the church of that day, that God was this great big judge that withdrew his love from his people because of certain things that were happening in their life. But in light of being God's chosen people who love God, no one can defeat us, nor can anything separate us from God's love for us. First of all, Paul writes to them and he says, "What shall we say in response to this? If God's for us, who can be against us? We have Almighty God on our side for us." He goes on to say in verse 33, "Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies." In other words, what he's saying is, no one can judge you. God's our judge, not anybody else. Who can separate you from God's love? Can someone else judge you and tell you you're no good, you're condemned, and you're going to hell because of something you've done, something you've said, or who you are, or that you don't go to a certain church, or that you don't do certain things? Can someone condemn you? Can someone bring that charge against you? No one can judge you. Only God is our judge, not anyone else. I want to remind you folks, no one in this world is your judge. No one. If you're living your life thinking, "Well, what will mom or dad say? What will my brother or sister say? What will the pastor say? What will the people in church say? What will my coworkers say?" You are living a lie. They're not your judge. You should be living your life saying, "What will God say? What will God say? God's my judge." So first of all, he reminds them, who will bring any charge against those God's chosen? It's God who justifies. Only God can bring a charge against us. Who's he that condemns? Who's he that condemns? No one can condemn you. He says, Jesus, is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. So when someone condemns us, you remember that Jesus is there interceding for you. Yeah, maybe you have failed God. That might be the truth. But no one has the right to condemn anyone else because they are not God and they are not our judge. This is between us and God. So he says, Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? First, he says, shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine, nakedness or danger or sword? He's saying, well, there's no situation that can separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. Trouble can't, hardship can't, persecution can't, famine can't, nakedness can't, danger or sword can't. There's no situation that can separate us that God withdraws his love. So in every situation, remember, God loves us. No situation can separate us. He goes on to say in verse 38, there's no power that can separate us. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons can separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. No power can separate us. Not even death. Nothing in life or in death. No angels, no demons, nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ. First he says, time can't. Neither the present nor the future. Time can't separate us, so we might as well stop worrying about the future. Anything that happens now or in the future is in God's hands, and he's going to protect his people. So we should stop all our worry. Being concerned is one thing, but worrying is another. And by the way, I'm going to be starting my worrying business for you pretty soon, if anybody would like to hire me to worry for them. It costs a little extra, but I'll stay up all night for you worrying. And when we're all done and you ask me, well, what did you do? I'm going to say, I gave it to God. Right? No power can separate us. Time can't separate us. Distance can't separate us. Neither height nor depth. And absolutely nothing on this earth. Because he says, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No situation can separate us. No power can separate us. Time can't. Distance can't. Nothing on this earth. In other words, nothing can cause God to disconnect from us. Nothing can overpower God. Nothing can confuse him. Nothing is too much for him. Why? First of all, because we're sheep. In verse 36, we're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. We're sheep. Secondly, in verse 37, we're conquerors. And all these things were more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And in verse 39, because we're connected. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Because we're connected to him, nothing can separate us. We're sheep, we're conquerors, and we're connected. Does that describe you? It should. It should. Maybe in a backwards order. I'm connected, I'm a sheep, I'm a conqueror. Because God loves us, Christ Jesus. Now folks, as I wrestled with this week, I thought to myself, this not only does not provide hope for, but it also pronounces defeat for those who are not in Christ Jesus. Think about that. This is sad. So why do we often sit around wallowing in self-pity, wondering if God loves us, wondering if he's going to help us, wondering where is God? Well, the only thing I could think of as I thought about that this week is maybe we're not persuaded that he's able, first of all. Or secondly, we're not convinced that he loves us or is even really with us. Remember the hurdles? Remember running down the track and we fall down, right? Jesus is running right with us. He's not back there cheering. He's not at the finish line cheering us on. He's running right beside us, saying, "You can do this. I'm here for you." And when we fall down, He's there to reach down and pull us up and brush us off and cheer us on our way. Now, rather than coming to the conclusion when you fall because of all these problems in life, rather than coming to the conclusion that you're defeated, you might as well give up, remember who it is that you put your trust in. Almighty and everlasting God, who time after time after time provided the ark, parted the waters, provided the power and the stone that slay the giant. Almighty God, who saved His Apostle Paul in the open sea, shipwrecked. The Almighty God, who flung the prison gates open when Paul and Silas were in prison. Remember who it is you put your trust in. If you're trusting in the things of this world, they have no life, they have no power, and most of all, they have no love. You know, we use a lot of things in our world today to help us to stay connected to things, or glue us together, or connect us together, or whatever. Of course, we use the good old duct tape, don't we? Well, what happens? The duct tape, after a while, kind of deteriorates, and maybe gets soft after a while, and kind of goes to nothing, and it loses its strength. Of course, we like to use super glue. Super glue is a lot of fun. That's the only way I can describe super glue. We even use it to bind up our wounds, don't we? Our cuts, you know, we super glue ourselves together. Oh, and there's the good old zip ties. We zip tie things together, but put this out in the sun long enough and this thing becomes brittle and breaks because they have no everlasting power. But Almighty God has everlasting power always. He never runs out of energy. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He upholds you with His mighty right hand. So we cannot put our trust in the things of this world. We have to put our trust in heavenly things. The worldly things are back at the starting line. You know, money, knowledge, self-help, positive mental attitude, all that. It's back at the starting line while you're down there on the ground, flailing around, needing help. With Jesus on our side, we're so far ahead. When we fall, He's able to help us up, and we're able to complete the race to carry out what's been started when we began our Christian journey. And as Paul said to the Philippians, we press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. We press on because God keeps us going from strength to strength to strength. I had a couple quick stories here and then I'm through. First of all, several people will say to me, I don't feel God really loves me because I haven't gone to church, or I don't read my Bible, or I haven't been a good person. And I say to them, God doesn't expect you to be perfect. He expects you to stay connected to Him. He can't keep you and take care of you if you're not talking to Him and listening to Him and staying connected. It's staying connected to God that gets us through the race of life. Years ago, when I used to race the cross-country races, 2, 3, 4 hours long, I remember there was one particular track up in northern Pennsylvania. It was a very hard track through the woods. It wound through the woods. It had hills and it had creeks. And I remember a couple times I raced there, I would have to stop at our pits and get a drink every other lap around this track. I think it was either 3 or 5 miles around, because it was so exhausting. And I realized I couldn't win the race stopping so many times. So my dad devised a device. He went to a local camping store and he bought a plastic canteen that held a quart. And it was in this sheath, this canvas sheath, that I could put my fanny pack belt through and have it to me. And he plumbed it with a little fitting in the top and a hose that went down in, and then a plastic hose that came up. And I took a piece of duct tape and made a tab and pinned it to my jersey. And the hose stuck up right here. Started the race with a full canteen of Gatorade. I never had to stop to drink. All I would do is when I got to a section of the track where I could do it, I'd quick reach up, put it in my teeth, and I'd hold it in my teeth, and I was driving like this, and I was sucking on it like there was no tomorrow, getting refreshed, because the refreshment was connected to me. you see. I didn't let it back in the pits. I took it with me on the race, in the race, to refresh me, to strengthen me. And I won the race, by the way, in case you're wondering. God's love is so strong in our life. We say, all right, I got questions. How does He provide for us? How does He show His love? When does He do it? Where does He do it? First of all, He shows it through people. You read in the Bible, every time God's people are in distress, God provides someone to bring them through. That's the story of my life. Every time that I have had issues in my life that I was dealing with, someone came along. Some even said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I just feel compelled to do it. The phone rings. A knock comes on the door. And it's God standing there in the person. God provides in places geographically. You ever had one of those places where you go and you just feel closer to God? Go there. Go there often. And soak in the Lord. Listen. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. He's right there. So He refreshes us. Through the events of life, God keeps us. Events, promise keepers, women of faith, to name a couple. In years gone by, they had a lot of revivals people would go to and be re-energized, revitalized, re-strengthened in their faith journey. Hopefully you get that every Sunday morning when we come together. When does God do this? When does He provide for this? Well, whenever it's needed. Always. When it's needed. God is faithful to provide for us. Say, well, where? I don't seem to see it. It's anywhere and everywhere around us. God's love is providing the things that we need to strengthen us in this journey of life every single day. I was sitting with my dog yesterday, and I oftentimes do this when I'm walking with Gracie, because I know I've told you folks, I feel very close to God when I'm outdoors, and I see God all over the place. And I started thinking to myself, and I wondered, did God save me, or did God save Gracie? Did God give Gracie to me to save her or me? And it's evident. It's evident every single day of my life. In many, many ways, God carries us along and keeps us. And the question is, why? Why? Why does God love us that much that He wants to carry us along? Because He's a God of love. That's who He is. A God of love. Because He wants us to be with Him forever. And that's next week's message, that God loves us so much that He resurrects us so we can be. Because He's an all-loving, powerful God that, again, is more interested in who you are becoming than who you have been, so much so that He loves you so much day in and day out. He is providing the things in your life to continue you on that journey to the finish line, to the call of heavenward, what God has called you in Christ Jesus. If we look at our bulletins this morning, this speaks volumes this morning. I hope you take the time to meditate on it. In the beginning, the clip art, I think it's a girl there, a mother's holding. You can tell the girl is stressed. The mother has her loving arms wrapped around the girl. That's where we begin in our journeys when we're faced with trials and tribulations. Look at the last picture on the bottom. And I did this in color for this, purposely. Victory. Hands in the air. The brilliant light of Almighty God, the presence of God in victory. That's our journey in trusting in God. And especially on Sunday morning, as we come in, we feel distressed, we feel tired, we need revitalized, re-energized, we need God to provide something to carry us along to the next strength. And in worship, we sing, we pray, we praise God, we listen to God's word, and when we leave, ready to go, filled up with the refreshment of Almighty God who loves us and keeps us. And most importantly, I can't stress the importance of God's keeping power in His Word. How many of you have ever read a devotional or picked up your Bible in a time of stress, in a time of trouble, and it's speaking to you? And every hand here should go up, right? Because that's the power of Almighty God. That's our God that loves us and keeps us and is keeping us during the race, because He wants us to finish with our hands in the air as we enter the pearly gates in victory, right? I want to join now together as we take our bulletin insert. There's a song. This is our confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed in music. Let's stand together as we sing that this morning.